never stop wondering at the many times that people in their lives, after good events or great days that they've had in life or good reports that they've had, maybe the doctor's office or wherever they are, about the luck factor that enters in, and you always hear them say, "Wow, we were lucky. We were lucky that day. It didn't rain on us. We were lucky it was a great day. We were lucky that our house didn't get flooded. We were lucky that we got there before the traffic backup or the traffic jam started. We were lucky." Well, I believe that Jehovah God, the self-existent one, the eternal God, doesn't believe in luck. In fact, I don't think there is such a thing as luck, because luck deals with chance. And God is not a God of chance. He's a God of assurance. I believe that from the sunshine every single day, to the food that we eat, to the safe travel that we experience, to our grades in school, to the beds that we sleep in at night, to every single breath that we take, every step that we take in our lives, that Almighty Jehovah God is to be praised. But it's not a matter of luck. As we read from the 103rd Psalm today, we start to begin to understand David's perspective on this. David was a man that had been through an awful lot in his life. And I know he didn't look back on it when he got old in years and say, "Wow, I was really lucky. I was really lucky. I had a lot of luck in my life." As David writes Psalm 103, which is a wisdom psalm, we see that he's praising or giving admiration or worship to Almighty God for several reasons. And it reminds us of the fact that we should praise God more than we do. We should praise God that we're just able to get out of bed in the morning. We should praise God that we're able to eat. We should praise God for the clothes on our backs, the roof over our head. We should praise God that we have warm water coming out of a thing in the wall to shower from every day. You know, not everybody in this world can have that. We should praise God that we have clean bathrooms that we can use. We should praise God for everything in our life, every step that we take, every day of our lives. We see in Psalm 103 four different sections as David writes Psalm 103. First of all, we see a section that deals with the fact that we should praise God for His power. Secondly, we should see that we should praise God for His character, or the way He, just simply the way He is. Thirdly, that we should praise God because He's the King of heaven and earth. And lastly, because of all that, everyone should praise the Lord. In the first section, we see David praising God for His power, for what He does. David, having looked back on his life and all that he had been protected from, all the people that were after him to kill him, all the situations, he says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." And notice that word "Lord" is all capitals, meaning Yahweh, Jehovah. He is praising Jehovah, the self-existent, eternal one, Master Yahweh, as we've talked about him recently in our studies. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, from the depths of my soul, praise His holy name." Not just coming out of my mouth superficially, that, "Yep, praise the Lord," and I go on with my life. From the depths of my soul, David says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." This word "benefits" here implies the way He treats us, the way He treated David, the acts that he performed, the benefits that we know by knowing God, that we should praise God for His power, for what He does, and what He does benefits us. Notice that all these are in the present tense as David starts down through the list of the things that he's praising God for. He's praising God that God makes us clean morally and healthy physically. In verse 3, "Praise the Lord who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases." All of them. Whatever way He chooses to do that is His business. And sometimes He chooses ways that we just don't understand. But we praise the Lord, David praises the Lord for forgiving sins and healing sicknesses or diseases. We should praise God that He's made us clean morally and healthy physically. Next, he praises the Lord because the Lord gives us freedom and encircles us with His presence. Praise the Lord who redeems your life from the pit. Now, when you're in the pit, you have no freedom. You're in bondage. You're unable to free yourself and get out and move as you wish. But he says, praise the Lord who redeems your life from the pit. Do you know that word redeem means to buy back? In a sense, it also is implying here in the ancient languages that someone buys someone back in order to make them kin, a brother or sister. Sort of in the understanding of the kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth, that in order for someone to have anything that has nothing, a kinsman redeemer bought them and made them their own so that they would now have an inheritance and have something to look forward to. He says, praise the Lord who does that with us, redeems us, buys us back, makes us kin, and gives us freedom, and crowns us with love and compassion. The word crown here meaning encircle us, to encircle us, surrounding us with His presence after He frees us from the bondage of moral decay. He says, praise the Lord who fills your life with beneficial things. He words it as in this way, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I want to tell you, this doesn't mean God is an Philadelphia Eagles fan. Okay? What he's saying here is we are to praise the Lord because He satisfies our desires with good things. Now, we say, why doesn't God give me $1 million? Well, for me, that wouldn't be a good thing. Why doesn't God give me all these things that I desire? Because He knows that would simply not be good for us. I had a young man the other day. My son came home and told me a story about a young man in school. I had a conversation with my son about marijuana and about the fact that the Bible says that God gave us all the plants of the earth for food, and that we can eat marijuana because the Bible says. Oh, how sadly our world is mistaken. How terribly wrong that is to take a passage out of Scripture, and when you read it, you find that God gave us the trees that bear fruit and seeds to eat. The rest of the plants He gave to the animals and the birds for food, not for human beings. Why would God give us a plant that's going to destroy us and has destroyed many people in our world today? That's hideous. That's not the God that the Bible describes. God satisfies our desires with good things that benefit us. And in all of this, we feel renewed, strengthened, like we did in our youth. Because we know that God has forgiven our sins, that He's healed us and will heal us, that He redeems us and buys us back, that He surrounds us with love and compassion and gives me good things for the benefit in my life. If there's a problem with that, it's because I'm just simply not on the same page with God. Now he goes on to say, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. I want you to think about the implications of the writing of David here. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. First of all, you have an oppressed man standing in a court of law. Who is the one that's working justice for that oppressed man? The lawyer, right? So he's saying that the Lord is our lawyer. He is the one fighting for us, working justice. But also he says the Lord works righteousness. Well, in order for there to be righteousness, there has to be a judge that judges whether something's right or wrong. If the Lord's working righteousness for us, that means He's the judge who's pronouncing us righteous. So not only is the Lord the lawyer, He's the judge. Oh, praise the Lord, David's saying. That the Lord has done all these things and does all these things and judges me and fights for me that I might be whole and I might be what He wants me to be. In the second section of this psalm, we find the real meat and potatoes of our praise and worship of God, that we're to praise God for His character, who He is in comparison with who we are. You know, it's easy to praise God for something that God's just blessed us with and given us. We feel, oh, praise, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you gave that to me, that you provided that for me. How many of you have ever thanked the Lord when you got home from the grocery store and just realized you spent $250 on groceries? Thank you, God, that you gave me the ability to work to earn the money to buy the groceries to feed my family. You see? That's easy. But when you're down in the dumps, when you're depressed, when you're mentally down, physically down, or sick, how many of us can praise the Lord? Praise you, God, that I know I'm not alone. Praise you, God, for my shoes, for my clothes, for my house. Praise you, God, that you have not killed me or allowed me to die, but you're redeeming me. Praising God just simply for His character. I praise you, Lord, that I don't know why I'm going through this, but I just praise you because I know you're on top of things and you're in control. In section 2, David begins to praise God. First of all, in regards to the kind of God that He is. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. He made known His deeds to the people of Israel, referring to Moses and Israel wandering in the desert when God made His presence known. In regards to the kind of God that He is, He's a God who made Himself known, that He really exists. I praise you, Lord, that you've made yourself known to me, that I know you exist. You've shown me. Remember Moses in Exodus 33, where he wanted the Lord to teach him the Lord's ways. He says, show me your glory. And God says, well, you can't see my face and live, but there's a cleft in the rock where I'm going to put you and I'm going to pass by. And when I pass by, you can look and you'll see me. You know what part of God did he see? But the backside of God. He saw God's glory and the way God wanted him to see it. But God made himself real and known, and Moses knew that God really existed. David goes on to say that the Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He's a God who's compassionate and gracious, showing sympathy and kindness, and that He's patient with us, slow to anger. Do you know every time we sin, God has the right and the ability to strike us down and kill us on the spot? But no, He's patient, He's slow to anger, and He shows His love abundantly. We should praise Him in regards to the kind of God that He is, that He's patient, that He really exists and He shows Himself to us. We should also praise God in regards to the kind of people that we are, that God considers that. In verse 9, David says, He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever, because He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. He's a God who forgives us, who considers our human condition and our abilities. And what is that? We're sinful people, unable to save ourselves. But God considers that. And He's forgiving. And He's a God who treats us better than we deserve. In regards to the extent of His love, in verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As high as the heavens, can we ever measure that? Do we know that the end? We believe they go on for infinity, as God's love does. He also says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. In regards to the extent of His love is unending and boundless, as high as the heavens. In regards to the extent of His forgiveness, as far as the east is from the west, that it's boundless. It's not bound by time nor space. Now, when I thought about this a little bit, I thought, was David talking about His mercy and His compassion, His removing our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, that from Japan to the United States, He removes everyone's transgressions? Or does that mean He removes them far from us, that they're never again to be remembered or in our face? And as I thought about that, I thought, well, where is the east and the west? We talk about the western hemisphere, the eastern hemisphere. But I don't care where you go on the earth, there's always someone that's east or west of you, right? And there's no measuring any of it. There's no place where you stand one place and you say, this is the line, here's the line. The line is actually wherever you are. That there's always an east and a west. And it says that God removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Well, how far is it? It's boundless. There's no measuring point. There's no stopping point. There's no starting point. That we should praise God for His character, who He is in comparison with who we are, that He's a loving, patient, compassionate God, and we're a sinful people unable to save ourselves, and that His love is boundless, deep and wide. That He's a God whose unending compassion is for His children who fear Him and keep His covenant and obey His precepts. As a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him, for He knows how we're formed. He remembers that we're dust, and as for man, his days are like grass. You see, he's saying that the Lord has compassion on us. He looks down on us, and he knows how we were formed. He knows who we are. He knows that our days are numbered, that we're mortal. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But even though man is mortal and dies from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children. In other words, though man is mortal, though his life may end here on earth, God's love is eternal and everlasting. And His love is with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. So we see in these sections that we should praise God for His power, for what He does. That He forgives, that He heals, that He redeems, that He crowns us, that He satisfies us, that He's our judge, He's our lawyer, He makes Himself known that He's real, He's compassionate, He's patient, He's loving, and His love is boundless. That's the kind of God that He is. And we should just simply praise Him because that's the kind of God that He is. In the third section, which is very short, David describes the Lord as having established His throne in heaven and His kingdom rules over all. That we're to praise God because He's just simply the King of heaven and earth. Who made Him king? He did. He was king from everlasting to everlasting. And that His throne is in heaven. The King James Version says that He prepared His throne in heaven, meaning He set up or He erected His throne in heaven, and that He rules over all. And as I thought about this a little bit, what it means to rule in the ancient languages, the word rule was marshal. And I got this picture in my mind, which this word marshal means having dominion, being a governor. I started to see that God is not only our lawyer that's fighting for us, our judge that judges us righteous through Jesus, but He's also the marshal. He's the marshal that's governing our lives and the whole earth. In light of the benefits of God and His gracious character, He concludes by saying, everyone should praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul, because God is deep and wide, because His love and His mercy is beyond measuring to those who fear Him and keep His covenant and obey His rules and principle. We should praise the Lord for His power, what He does, for His character, who He is, and because He's the King of heaven and earth. Everyone should praise the Lord. Are we lucky? Are we lucky to be alive? Are we lucky to be here today? Are we lucky because maybe the sun came up? Are we lucky because we had a good year and the crops are good? Are we lucky because we just got out of an accident by the skin of our teeth? No, we're not lucky. We're blessed. We're blessed by Jehovah, the self-existent eternal one, the Lord Yahweh, who blesses us still today. And will continue to bless all who fear Him, keep His covenants, and obey His rules and principles. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. That means He's going to be with us, blessing us day by day by day. Healing, forgiving, redeeming, fighting for us, because that's the kind of God that He is. Let's pray. Our Father, it's wonderful that we have a God like this, like You. David spells it out, a man who knew many troubles, a man who knew fighting, a man who had courage, a man who was after Your own heart. Help us to take His advice today, Father, with us from this place, and see the world in a whole new way, seeing the blessings all around us that You provide every day, even in the little things, that we might know that we're not lucky, we're blessed, because that's the kind of God that You are. In Christ's name, amen. As we close, we'll close this morning from singing 121, so let's stand together.